Today's scripture reading is a little bit long. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. It's a whole kind of section. So I'll read it. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Listen now to the word of God. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. But if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll pray before we go into today's message, titled One Body, Many Parts. Let's pray. God, would you open up our ears and open up our hearts so that we can really receive your message, Lord, to not just hear it, but to understand it. Not just to understand it, but to be able to live it out. Lord, that we would be challenged to really take the message that we hear, maybe one that we've heard before, maybe something that's familiar to us, maybe a concept that we've dealt with in the past. But Lord, this time, would you make it stick? Would you help us, Lord, to act on it? Would you help us to start building our ministry, building our church upon the principles that are guided by your word? So Lord, we don't want to just hear things. We don't want to just be entertained. We don't want to just learn something. Lord, we want to live the words that we hear. So Lord, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the strength? Would you give us your spirit? So that we are able to walk forward with the knowledge that we have inside of our heads, that we can start living it out through our actions. Lord, be with us. Be with me as I speak. Be with the congregation as they listen. Lord, we only seek to honor you at this time. We only want to build a church, build a ministry that you are proud of, that really has your stamp of approval on. So Lord, we pray that we would stick closely to your word, that we would cling to your word, that we would live by your word. We thank you, God, and all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so I know that that this week is the first week of Advent. So, you know, in my heart, I was telling myself I should probably prepare a message that fits along with the first week of Advent, you know, try to get our group into the spirit of Christmas. But 2 weeks ago, I said that I was doing a two-part sermon series. And last week, we had our Thanksgiving service. So I thought, you know, I would just complete the sermon series, and then the following week, I would focus on the Advent season. So I know it's not really Christmas-themed. I know it's not reflective of the fact that it's the first week of Advent. But today, I stand before you with a word from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it's a very simple one. It's a continuation of the message that I preached 2 weeks ago. And the thing that I emphasized 2 weeks ago was that there are many gifts, but there's one Spirit. The same Spirit is the one that distributes those gifts. There are many works. There are many types of things that you can do, outward things. But it's the same Lord who is in charge of those things. And there are many works. There are many services. There are many things that you can do outwardly. But in everyone and in all things is the same God. And it's something that should bind us. It's something that should unite us. And I suggested last week that we live in a time where there are a lot of divisions, where there are a lot of ways that we can kind of stand apart from each other. There are things and there are parts of human nature where we feel more comfortable with things that are a little bit more uniform. When we see diversity, when we see differences, it's very easy to notice those things. Those things stand out. Immediately, if you're standing with someone and they have different skin color, if they're speaking a different language, immediately in your heart you realize this is very different. I'm not comfortable. But these are things that the Christian has to start stepping forward past. We can't stay in that zone of uncomfortableness. We can't stay divided. We can't just seek uniformity. We can't just seek like-mindedness all the time. What we have to do is we have to recognize the goal that we have together as Christians. We have to recognize the Spirit inside each and every one of us. We have to be able to identify the God that is in everyone, that is in all things. And that is the most powerful thing that can unite us. And so, you know, I was reviewing my own sermon, and I was thinking about it, reflecting on it a little bit. And for those of you that don't know, I'm a very big Dallas Cowboys fan. I don't know why this happened. I grew up in New York my whole life, but because of maybe my age, I grew up a Dallas Cowboys fan. And I had the unfortunate circumstance of having to watch them play this Sunday, this past Thursday on Thanksgiving. They always have the Thanksgiving game. And I was thinking about my sermon, and I was like, yeah, you know, today is the day. The Cowboys are going to put it all together. You know, they're going to be all have their assignments, they all have their roles, and they're going to play them out perfectly. It's going to be beautiful. And I really believe that. I had really high hopes for that. But in the end, as I was watching the game, I noticed that the Buffalo Bills were indeed the team that had everything going right. They had the idea of unity, and they had the idea of unity in diversity working really well. All of their linemen were blocking well. Their receivers were catching the ball. Their running backs were running really well. And I thought, wow, that's a good team. They're a pretty good team. It made me sad. It made me gloomy for the rest of the day. The Cowboys played the 4 o'clock game. I did not speak with anyone after that game. I was very upset. My cousins, of course, make fun of me because they know every Thanksgiving that's, you know, my mood depends on whether they win or lose. But, you know, being able to see that in action, I think, was a beautiful thing, even if it was the opposition. One of my closest childhood friends is a Buffalo Bills fan, and we were, of course, you know, just lightly jabbing each other. And he was having the time of his life. He was like, oh, did you see that beautiful play? Did you just see that play that the Bills just ran? And I was like, yes, I saw it. I'm watching. But it was unfortunate to see it from the other side. But to see unity, to see people working together, to see it kind of being executed well, even on a football field, something as trivial as a sport, something that we're just watching on TV, it was such a beautiful thing. And I could appreciate it even coming from the enemy team. Now, how much more so if the body of Christ were to be able to execute those kinds of things? If we could kind of find the roles that we're supposed to be in, to be able to appreciate the diversity around us, to work towards the same kinds of things, even though we're different, even though the things that trigger our human nature, the visible things, the things that we can hear, the things that we can see, even though those things are triggered inside of our human nature, we're able to locate the Spirit inside of each person and to identify, to unite, to come together for the purpose of God's kingdom. And I wanted to continue that message today. I think this piece of kind of prose or this part of writing that Paul does is really nice. I can appreciate his intellect, I think, in this passage. I read it over and over again, and I thought, wow, this guy, he could have been a professor. You know, he was, in some ways, a professor. But the way that he wrote this piece, it was really masterful. I think it was the type of thing that you can learn from. If you're an educator, if you're a teacher, if you want to explain something really well and really clearly to someone, Paul does an excellent job of writing in this passage. I really encourage you to go back and to sit with this passage. Maybe read it through the week. You know, read it once a day through the week and just appreciate the way that he's expressing his thoughts. It's so clear. It's really well thought out. He starts kind of with a general idea. He starts by giving an analogy. He starts by talking about the body. And that's something that everyone can identify with. You know, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, whether you've been going to church for a long time or, you know, just the first time walking into church, when as soon as you say, it's like a body, everyone can kind of look at their own hands, their own feet. They can look at their body and go, okay, I can relate to that. I have a body. And so that's one thing I think that he does really smartly, really well. He starts with an analogy that everyone can relate to. And he says, hey, your body has many parts. That's the way that it is with Christ. And in some ways, I believe that that's supposed to be the reflection of the church. The church is supposed to reflect the body. And the guiding principle behind all of this is that within that body, there is one spirit, that it's God's spirit that drives that body, that God is inside each and every part, that he's not ever separate from us, that he's never outside of us, that he's always inside, that he's always at the center. And if that's the case, then we can appreciate the differences that we see in others. I shared with you 2 weeks ago that I have a difficulty in doing that. I don't like to work with people that don't think the same way that I do. I have a hard time. I don't like to take that one step of having to explain myself, of having to, you know, try to explain my thought process. I like to get into a room and have like-minded people just agree, or they'll say ideas that I think are great ideas. It's very difficult when I work with people from different backgrounds. I have difficulty sometimes when I work with people from different age groups, you know, from different upbringings, because sometimes our ideas, our thoughts, they clash. And those are the things that we sometimes key in on. And because we're human, we seek the comfort of like-mindedness. And in churches, many times, we end up doing the same thing. We end up congregating with people who are like us, who come from the same socioeconomic background as us, who have the same kind of cultural or ethnic upbringing that we had. In some ways, this is one of the limiting factors of a church, because at some point, we are building up that kind of community because that's comfortable to our human nature. But what was the early church faced with? They were faced with so many challenges because all these people were being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they didn't know what was going on. Some of them were not as educated as others. Some of them were not rich. Some of them were poor. Some of them were Jews. Some of them were Gentiles. They lived close to the church. They came from that region, or they were just passing through and visiting. All kinds of people were coming together, and what they were finding was, it's so hard to make a community out of a group like this. What is the binding factor? What is the thing that can unite a group when you can't speak the same language sometimes? When you use an analogy and someone's like, I don't understand that analogy. When you talk about the region and someone says, I don't know anything about this region. This was the struggle of the early church. This was a struggle in the church in Corinth. But the thing that Paul reminds us of is that the Spirit of God binds us through all kinds of earthly and human dividers. That the Spirit of God, that the God who is inside each and every one of us, can break down all the walls that we try to put up for ourselves, all the walls that in our daily lives we find comfort in. But when we gather as the body of Christ, when we rejoin, when we almost remember the body of Christ together, when we come into God's presence to worship him, we have to remember that we have different parts of the body joining together, but every single one of them is needed. Every single one of them is honored in God's eyes. And so Paul starts off this discourse. He starts off this kind of lecture with a general idea, with an analogy. And he continues it by continuing this thought, and he gives examples. And I think, you know, he does a really good job with the examples. And so it's better than, you know, trying to come up with an analogy on an analogy and trying to give an example of an example. So I just stuck with Paul's example here. But he says, you know, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, if you've ever been injured, if you've ever really hurt yourself, If you've had an unfortunate accident, you really suffer when you are missing a part of something that you have kind of grown accustomed to having on a daily basis. And I haven't had major, major injuries in my life, but there was a time when I sprained my my ankle so badly that I couldn't walk. And in that same week, I sprained my other ankle so badly that it was kind of a hilarious comedic moment for me. And of course, you know, I was like telling my parents, hey, I can't walk. Let's just be real with the circumstance. Let's assess this in a very reasonable way. Like, I cannot walk. I cannot go to school. And of course, my parents were like, hey, crawl if you need to. And they made me go to school. But it was kind of laughable, the way that I was moving around. And it was so uncomfortable. And I realized so many things that I take advantage of, so many things that I, you know, never really even thought about. It was such a pain just to walk a few steps, just to walk uphill. You know, all these things and activities that I really loved doing that I never thought twice about, in some ways, just for that week, it was kind of taken away from me. And I realized, wow, it is really, really important to take care of my body, to not suffer injury. Because when I'm missing something, then I really realize how much I need it. I didn't have any strength in my ankles. I was walking. I looked like a newborn baby deer. I couldn't like stand straight. And all my friends, I was an athlete in high school, so all my friends, they knew me as the athletic guy. And they were like, oh, look at this guy. He's crawling around. He can't even walk on his own. And it was a very embarrassing time for me. But that's what happens when something that you take for granted is kind of taken away from you. You notice that. It's the same way in churches. Sometimes when you have people in your congregation, when you have people who are part of the body, and you just kind of know that they'll be there. You know that they'll show up. You can expect them to be there. You can rely on them. A lot of times, sometimes you'll take them for granted. Once they're missing, once they're not there, and you feel that loss, you feel the difference between having them and not having them. By then we go, oh no, I should have appreciated that person. Oh no, I should have said, you know, a lot of thanks to that person. Oh, I should have been better to that person. See, by then it's too late. And there are a lot of times in my life where I've experienced that in ministry. And I hope that as we build up our English ministry, that as we build up our congregation, as we think about what it means to be the church of God, what it means to be the body of Christ, that's something that we really should take into our hearts, that people are important, that the parts of the body are important, that we should never isolate ourselves from the body, and we should never push anyone, exclude anyone from the body of Christ. And one of the things that that was brought to my attention in this passage is that it's not up to the body parts to decide who's part of the body and who's not part of the body. That's quite silly, right? Like, the body part, as a created thing made by God's hand, does not have the right to say, I don't belong to the body, even if it's for yourself. A lot of times when you speak on your own behalf, you might say something like that. Oh, I get to say that. It's me. It's my words. It's my feeling. It's my attitude. I get to say that. But as part of the body of Christ, you do not have that right. You are part of a corporate body. You are part of a people. And you were created, you were joined together by God. And so we don't even have the right to say, I don't belong to this. I can excuse myself from this. I've done that at various points in my life, in my faith life, where I said, here, I'm here for myself. I'm here just to do worship and just get out of here. I don't have any responsibility to anybody else. I'm not thinking about the person to the left or to the right of me. I just feel a little guilty for not going to church, so I'm just here at church. I'm just going to do some worship. I hope no one bothers me, and then I'll be on my way. In some ways, what I was doing is that, you know, I'm part of the body, but I don't belong to the body. I don't want to belong to this. I don't have a responsibility to someone else. And the functions that I could have been doing that were my responsibility, that were placed in me and given to me by God, I was not functioning in those ways. The problem with that is that when one part of the body does not function, another part of the body kind of has to compensate. So I'll share one more story. When I was growing up in high school, there's a volleyball tournament that we go to now. Saegwang Church has been attending the volleyball tournament. But when I was growing up, and in my area, it was like life or death. It was like church, my church practiced starting in like January. It was snowing. It was 30 degrees. We cleared the snow with our feet and our hands, and then we would practice volleyball. That's how important it was. And in my senior year, my last year of playing this volleyball tournament, I was feeling really good. I think I was in like a really good physical state. I was playing a lot of volleyball. I was like, this is the year. But right before the tournament, I was running around, I was fooling around during practice, and I severely rolled my ankle. It was to the point where I was bruised almost up to my knee. So I like rolled my ankle so badly that I couldn't walk on my right leg. And of course, I went to the doctor, and the doctor was like, you cannot play. Are you crazy? The volleyball tournament's in a week and a half. You cannot play. And so he was like, you cannot play. And he told my parents, like, you cannot let him play. And my parents were like, you can't play. And they like told my youth pastor, he can't play. And then everyone in my church was like, okay, he can't play. But of course, I played. I tried to play. But the problem was I couldn't land on my right leg. And so I kept landing on my left leg. So I was jumping off my left leg and only landing on my left leg. You know, it went all right. I was like, hey, I can still play like this. I can still contribute like this. And my team was like, hey, we got this. We can do this. So I was hobbled, but I was doing that. And then, unfortunately, I went up to jump for a ball once, and I landed. And I felt like a strong pain, like a sharp pain in my knee. And what I had done, of course, I went back to the same doctor who told me that I can't play. I tore my meniscus. I tore my meniscus in my left knee. Because I was putting too much stress on it. You see, that's, when I think about that, when I look at that, that's an image of the church as well. When parts of the body are not taking responsibility for the roles that they're supposed to be in, they force other parts of the body to overfunction. They force other people to step in and take charge of the things, maybe, but they're not they're not designed and made for that role. Can you imagine trying to write a letter with your foot? It would be such a difficult task. That's the job of the hand. But if the hand is not doing it and someone needs to do it, if it has to get done, then at any cost, you would have to do it. But you're not made for that. And because of that, when you overfunction and you start outside your role, it starts having an effect. There are consequences. The same way that my knee gave out. By the way, I played that tournament. I had a torn meniscus and I had an ankle sprain. I just put a bandage over it. I put an ankle brace over it. I just played. And I was okay. It ended up being all right. But we want to remind ourselves that the body of Christ is like this as well. Why do we see people struggle sometimes in churches? Because they're struggling in roles that they're not meant to fill. Why do we see people feeling excluded? Because we're not placing them and allowing them to be part of the body. We're not including them into the body of Christ. Maybe we haven't explored their gifts. Maybe we haven't seen their talents. Maybe because of surface level things, we haven't considered that they are someone who is valuable in the body of Christ. I used to do this with young kids. I used to do that in my view of youth students as well. I thought my job was only to train them, to teach them, till they became viable adults, till they became viable members of church. And last year, through a lot of the Bible reading that I had, a lot of the experiences that I had with our youth students, I realized that I had been so wrong, that they are part of the body of Christ, that they have something to offer, that they have responsibilities, that they have things to do to contribute to the body of Christ. And so now I try to empower them. I try to have them step up and to step into their roles, because if they are not doing their jobs, if they are not doing the responsibility, if they're not working inside of their gifts, if they're not using the talents that God has given to them for God's kingdom and for God's people, then we're suffering together as a body. Then together we're not doing something that we're supposed to be doing. And the other part that I wanted to emphasize in Paul's example is that the body parts tend to criticize each other. based on what their role is, based on what they think is important, based on their gifts and their talents. They say, I don't need you. The head could say that, right? The head is like, I'm important. I'm the thing that drives the body. And feet, you know, that's just the thing that touches the ground. It's easy to say, I don't need you. But you have to remember that the body parts are not the ones that get to make that call. That the Lord is the one who brought us together. And the Lord is the one who said, every single piece of this is indispensable in my sight. That every single piece of this is honored in my eyes. And so we have to understand that as a body of Christ, we need to start understanding and accepting each other. It's not just about tolerating each other. It's not just about being able to withstand someone. Oh, man, I can't stand, but I can just make it through 1 hour of church with that person. Oh, if I have to be in a meeting with that person, it's going to be so difficult. I'll just get through it. No, it's to start seeing the brothers and sisters in Christ as valuable assets, people that you need, people that you really have to walk with and journey with. You have to look at that person and say, that person is indispensable to my journey with God. That person is indispensable in this church. That person is needed. We have to celebrate the diversity, not just tolerate it, not just get through it. But the body of Christ was made in intricate ways. It was made in amazing ways. It's made in incredible ways that only a God, that only our God could have designed. And each of you is a part of that. Whether you're a passerby, whether you're a longtime member, whether you're young, whether you're old, you've been called to this place because God is placing you in the body of Christ. You have a responsibility to the people in this room. You have a responsibility to this church. You are needed. You are necessary. And we are meant to look at each other and celebrate each other. Celebrate the different gifts, the different backgrounds, the different ages, the different languages, the different cultures that we represent. And understand that that's the beauty of the body of Christ. That's the beauty of going to church together. I'm sorry, I'm going to end on another football analogy. But that darn screenplay has been stuck in my heart and in my head this whole time. And when I saw the Bills execute it, I thought again to myself, my sister was right. That is what the church looks like. And I want to end with that. I'm going to just kind of break down a screenplay for you. The center, the offensive lineman, he's holding the ball, snaps it to the quarterback. The quarterback gets the ball, takes a few steps backwards, and then just throws a short pass, very low risk, to either a running back or a wide receiver. The wide receiver, running back, usually is someone who's very fast. They're very agile. They can catch the ball. At that very moment, when that ball gets released and that person catches the ball, all of a sudden that person who's holding the ball becomes the VIP. And everyone is willing to throw their bodies down. You see these huge, fat offensive linemen, and they're scrambling. They're shuffling their feet to get out in front to block for this person who has the ball. There's no one that looks at them and goes, what are you doing? Give me the ball. I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I'm faster. You should be giving me the ball. No, but at that moment when that ball hits that person's hands, everyone is moving in one accord towards that end zone. And all these people with different skill sets, you know, physically, they're all different. They have different positions, different responsibilities, different roles. They all start running ahead of this person. And they look for all the people that are getting in the way, and they stick a hat on them. They call it hat on hat. And they make a way so that this person can continue forward. And when it's executed right, I hope, you know, one day maybe we'll watch a football game together, and we'll see the perfect screenplay. But every time I see that, I see the body of Christ. I see the church. I see what the church is supposed to do. That at that moment's notice, that we're all willing to put our bodies down, that we're able to run ahead and say, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to bust my lungs. I'm going to work my butt off to get you to be successful because your success is my success. Because I need you to succeed. I need you to get there because we're part of the same body. We're part of the same team. And maybe when the Church of God starts doing things like that, when we start understanding those things, when we can really start celebrating the diversity, when we can celebrate and acknowledge the gifts that people have inside of our churches, when we can encourage them, support them, instead of trying to smack them back down, instead of trying to get them to conform. But if we can start encouraging them and building up the body of Christ, then perhaps even to this world, even to this generation, will become a model for how we can be united despite our diversity, despite the differences. We live in a time where that's so precious, that's so needed. We live in a time where people are kind of championing division, where we're drawing lines. But maybe the church can be the guiding light in this generation. And it starts within our walls. It has to start within our congregations. It has to start with that person that you cannot stand in a church, that you cannot stand in a congregation, and to start appreciating the gifts and the talents, the diversity that you find in that person. Then we will start to build up the body of Christ. Then it will become healthy. Then it will become strong. And then it will become something that can really make a difference in this world. Let us pray. Lord, we are the body. You are the spirit inside of us. You are the engine that drives us. You are the one who formed us. So Lord, as the body parts, help us to not criticize your work. Help us to not find fault in the way that you've built us up. But Lord, help us to start appreciating the people around us, the things that you've provided us with, the gifts and talents that are around us. Lord, it's so important. It's not just to create an ideal church, but that is what the church is. Without this idea of the body, without this unity, Lord, can we really call ourselves a church? Help us to start examining ourselves, some of the personal things that we have against other people, some of the ways in which we've spoken about other people, the views that we've had. Lord, would you correct our hearts? Would you rebuke us? Would you forgive us? Lord, we pray that day by day, one step at a time, we would start to build up the church in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We thank you, God. And all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray.